Hello and welcome to this week's episode of On the Box. And we have quite a few news stories today, don't we, guys?
Yes, we do. But who are you, mysterious stranger?
Well, it doesn't suit me anymore. I'm Andy, but my picture says Mr. Quiffy.
Sorry, what?
Mr. Quiffy.
Mr. Quiffy.
Yeah.
My ears misheard and I heard Mr. Quickie.
That'd be more than painting the picture for you, that.
I don't know. I was about to say that may or may not be a weird mispronunciation of Mr. Quiche. So, yeah, I am Rob, and we also have one other silent stranger in the background.
Yes, I refuse to take part and are properly introduced.
And now you
because
have
I
been.
I am star of stage and screen Emerson Cumberbund.
Yes, he is. Also known as Andrew, but for today, he will be playing the role of Emerson Cumberbund.
Yes, renowned actor, plays the part of Sherlock. Name is often confused by Rob.
Yes. You don't want to know some of the other names that were going through the list in my head before I settled on Emerson Cumberbund.
Oh, no.
It's such a good name, though.
It is. I need to remember it so I can use it for something at some point.
Well, as your alias.
Yeah.
Is this like my alias that was given to me by NASA when I was 13? I wrote to them for an English project at school asking for information about space, so they sent it back to Robert Haig.
Robert Haig?
Yes, that's my alias given to me by NASA, so it's official.
Just sound like a BBC political correspondent.
Exactly. And that's why I like it.
Should be your writing name, Rob.
What, Robert Haig?
Pseudonym. I know it's not a good pseudonym to have because it's supposed to be completely different, but...
Do you know the best thing about that name? My signature and Mr. Haig's signature are identical.
It's a conspiracy.
It is. Well, you know, other Rob always said I was secretly white.
Yes, I was waiting for the day when you kind of tear your face off to reveal, like, a slightly balding, middle-aged white man.
From Yorkshire.
Yeah.
No, that's William. I think you'll find he's no relation. I can't do his accent. I don't know what kind of Yorkshire accent he has, but it's not one that I'm familiar with. Anyway.
How did we get onto this?
I don't know. We haven't even started the show yet.
Anyway, I was about to stop us to go on to news, so let's move on to news. We've got news. Let's do news. Andy, it's your cue to talk.
Are we going first? Yeah.
Yeah, you've got the news.
I'll start off with, does anybody remember or did anybody watch the one-off Porridge a few weeks ago?
No.
No.
You never watched it?
So that's that story immediately dead.
Well, this was a new Porridge episode starring Kevin Bishop. And it was set, he played Kevin, played Fletcher's son.
Yeah.
And he was in prison and he's known for his IT skills. It was like a modern version.
Okay.
But I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And a lot of the fans were really positive about it. And it's been commissioned for a 6-episode series coming up next year.
Okay.
But this has, basically, the episode that was gone.
Yeah.
It was Fletch trying to stay on the right side of the prison officer, Richie Weeks. And it was basically the same sort of thing that you'd have in the old Porridge.
Yeah.
But Fletcher would use his IT knowledge to hack into the systems and get information and things like that. It was really modern.
So hang on. I'm a bit confused about something. Fletcher would use his IT skills to hack into the system of the prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
Using what? Because if he's a hacker in prison, the last thing you give him is a computer.
Well, there's this other officer that wanted something off. He snuck into the office and deleted some data for another prisoner and set off the alarms in the process.
So basically, there was a series of hijinks and shenanigans.
Yeah. But it was a good episode, and it would be great to see how this into a 6-episode series.
Is this a comedy themed prison based Mission Impossible? Because that's what it sounded like. He snuck into the office and deleted some information from the computer. All I've got is an image of, and I can't remember what this guy looks like, so in my head, it's Ronnie Barker in that Mission Impossible scene where he's hanging from the ceiling.
It's Kevin Bridges.
I was going to say, it's not Kevin Bridges. Kevin Bishop. I can't remember what he looks like.
He used to be... Oh, what did he used to do now?
See, you're saying Kevin...
I think he used to have, like, the Kevin Bishop show.
Yeah, he was in that one.
See, you're saying Kevin Bishop, but all I remember is teeth, because all I can think of is John Bishop. So anyway. So you say Porridge was pretty good.
Yeah, well, it got over 50 million viewers across, like, on-demand and TV. And it says actually 3 series has been commissioned on it. So that'll be...
Sorry, did you say 50 million viewers?
Yeah.
50 million viewers? Really?
Was it with well over 50 million viewers tuning in across the run. So it's actually got 3 series commissions coming out of it.
The amount of people who also watched that thing on BBC Four where it was just footage from a coach.
Yes.
Yeah, but that was supposed to be really, really good footage from a coach.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realise... It was high-quality footage from the coach.
Oh, it was superior.
Only the very finest tarmac.
Yes. Let's not dwell on the coach trip thing and move on, shall we?
Please, I think so.
Yes. So what's next, Andy?
Well, this is a little weird story. The headline reads, TV presenter discovers he's dead as he registers his newborn son's birth in bizarre mishap.
And what?
You can't skip that headline, can you?
So the TV presenter found out he was dead or his newborn son was dead?
He was dead.
So he'd been registered as dead?
Yeah, and this is Martin Hughes Games. He's the presenter on Screenwatch.
What's his name?
Martin Hughes Games.
Martin Hughes Games?
Yeah, Hughes Games is got a little dash in the middle.
Hang on, is it games as in playing games, or...?
Yeah.
Martin Hughes Games.
Yeah, you know the Hughes Games, Robs, where they take children from every district and kind of put them in a big field and have them fight each other to the death.
And then call it Springwatch.
But, yeah.
Welcome to Springwatch Extreme. This ain't your daddy's Springwatch.
So, I'm just like, that is like one of the most middle class... And when you're saying Hughes Games, if you remove one of the H's, wouldn't it be like Huge Games?
It'd be Hughes Games?
Hughes Games, yeah. Because then he could be a distribution company. Anyway, so...
But yeah, the story is just a quick, silly one. He registered his son's birth, as you would, and then he get the birth certificate back to find out that he's on his occupation. It says... television presenter, then in brackets, deceased.
Yeah, and then everything went white and he realised that he was still on that helicopter back in Nam.
Now, when he said, when it got to his occupation, I thought his occupation was deceased. And I was going to say, hang on, you can get paid for being dead? Is it a 9-to-5 job? So you're alive again after 5 o'clock.
Well, I hear it's a very popular way to avoid taxes.
This is true.
Yeah, but the best bit, which I haven't mentioned yet, is the fans on Twitter, after he posted, basically, registered little Sam's birth yesterday, surprised to read my occupation on birth certificate. Then he posted the screenshot. And then the fans, one of them quoted Mark Twain, the report of my death was an exaggeration, while another added, look at the positives, Martin. Next year, you will get your photo flashed up at the BAFTA Awards.
See, I want to believe what I was actually confused by was the bit where it said he was a presenter. Like, up until this point, he's just never realised.
Hey, I didn't realise this, right? It says, Martin is well-known natural history programme producer and presenter, and is best known for co-presenting the BBC magazine-style nature series Springwatch, as well as its spin-offs, Winter Watch, Autumn Watch, and Spring Watch Unsprung.
So I've got a question. Do they have a pre-apocalypse one called Doom Watch?
I'd watch that.
I already did, and I heard they were bringing it back. I'm hoping he's on it. What do you think, Andrew? Doom Watch.
I think you're making a reference to a thing that I don't remember.
It's that one that I... You remember I was talking about a movie, a TV movie before, and I mentioned it to you. It's basically this environmental disaster type team called Doomwatch.
Oh, yeah, I've just Googled it. I remember you talking about it now.
Yeah. So, you know, they've got Spring, Summer, Autumn, and Winter Watch, so why not Doomwatch? Sky Watch, Alien Watch, you know, Traffic Watch.
Well, no, surely the Sky Watch one would be called Overwatch.
Oh, yeah, Overwatch, yeah.
I was just saying that if I said it, Lewis might just like magically appear in the corner of my room.
Isn't that a joke from The Simpsons? It's Beetlejuice, isn't it? If you say Overwatch three times, Lewis appears.
Yeah, that is like the Beetlejuice joke.
Because I've just seen it in a recent episode of The Simpsons where Martin and Bart Martin says, "Bully Bart," and Bart goes, "Where?" And Martin goes, "No, it's just a phrase." And Nelson turns up going, "Who summons me?"
Nice.
Anyway, right. A quick little aside. Where were we? Yeah, Overwatch. I think that's the third time we've said it.
Hey. Oh no, it is the third time.
So yeah, Doom Watch, Traffic Watch. Traffic Watch is always a good one. Zombie Watch.
Oh, I've got one. The hand-based observational show, Wrist Watch.
Or Pocket Watch.
Is that where they just focus on watching people's pockets? Or what's in people's pockets? What's in your pocket?
That'll be a really interesting watch. For example, approaching random people in the street and going, "What's in your pocket?" I'd watch that.
That's a disturbing TV show you're positing there. Walking up to somebody in the street and saying, "What's in your pocket?" You sound like a mugger.
Are you just pleased to see me?
You'll sound like a mugger. Empty your pockets now.
I sound like
all your most interesting bits of lint.
Yes.
Sound like Alan Partridge thinking up of these show names.
Partridge Watch, also known as, you know, Birdwatch. My one was lame. Lame. So we could have Lame Watch and then Laugh and Point.
Is this going back to one of our most popular ideas, the window with the guy in the dunce cap?
Yes. Which I still think that's an idea we should copyright.
It is a good idea.
Yeah, we'll go around to companies as a consultancy, make a lot of money.
Hmm.
Anyway, is there any other news, Andy?
Yeah.
You're not Andy, you're Emerson. You're Emerson.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm terribly sorry. I shall return to kind of staring wistfully at a skull.
So, Andy, is there any other news?
This is the last bit of news from me.
Okay.
Ian McKellen. Yeah. Ian McKellen, Gandalf,
Magneto,
the one off Vicious.
Yeah, well, that Vicious was that strange elder statesman type comedy. It was basically a bunch of geriatrics trying to be young again, wasn't it?
It was really good, actually.
I was surprised.
I thought it was very different.
Yeah, I was but surprised. Anyway, you were saying?
Oh, yeah. It was the headline first that caught my attention. For funny reasons, again.
Okay.
Says Sir Ian McKellen follows in the footsteps of Kim Kardashian as he lands his own reality-style documentary. And I'm thinking, oh, what can this be?
Keeping up with the McKellens.
But anyway, this is a serious reality-based, interviewee-based documentary where it's recreations of scenes from the star's life, as well as interviews with him. And it explores his childhood, how he got into acting, you know what he's done. Basically, a fun type of documentary.
See, this actually sounds better than something like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, because where they are trying to be famous and trying to be popular and celebrity and everything like that, he's gone way past that and he's approaching it from the other side. He's like, well, you know, I've had a long, interesting life. Why not let more people know about it?
Yeah, he's someone who's already put in the hard work to become famous.
Yeah. And, you know, he's not very public about his life in general, is he?
And this is as well. This seems to be done more as a series rather than a one-off.
Yeah.
The article says he's managed to conduct 14 hours of interview time amongst recreations of scenes from the star's life. So it has to be a full series.
I would hope so, because I know I made fun of you for this earlier, Andy, but I think even I would struggle to sit through like a 14-hour documentary on Ian McKellen.
Yeah. You'd have to, your bladder would literally have to run like clockwork at that point.
I couldn't set a time in the middle of that to go to the toilet.
No, you'd just be, you know, you wouldn't wind it up beforehand so the spring would be nice and loose to allow for more space.
Anyway, it's called McKellen Playing the Part, and it's yet to have a release date, but a few sources expect it to be out next year sometime.
Sweet.
So it'd be good to keep a lookout.
Well, it's Ian McKellen, and, you know, I like Ian McKellen. I think he's a brilliant actor, and I think he's very, very, very funny.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, he's got quite a dry wit, doesn't he?
Yeah. Weirdly enough, you remind me a little bit of him, I should say, Emerson.
Well, I am fabulous.
Are you absolutely fabulous?
No. Jennifer Saunders.
Well, Ian McKellen has played Sherlock, Andrew.
What?
He has. He shall be my inspiration for the role.
Yes. So, anyway, I think it's over to Emerson and me, I should say, because we do have some trailers. New York Comic Con happened, and there were a few things coming out from Netflix. But Emerson, do you want to start us off? It's so easy to call you Emerson right now, you know that.
It is. Like, I fear this is going to backfire horribly, and this is going to be my name from now on.
It's going to be weird. Yep.
It's even going to change on the show description we put out from now on.
Yeah. One day I'm going to have, like, some important document I need to sign, and I'm just going to, like, unconsciously write down Emerson Cumberbund. That's going to be what breaks me.
Is it when you apply for a new driver's license?
Yeah.
Or on your passport application?
You'll be changing it by deed poll. Just going on your CV and everything.
Yeah.
I'd suddenly get noticed more if I had a name like that.
Yep.
But no, I'm not going to consider it. So, yes, trailers, good, lovely, beautiful trailers.
Yes.
So, first of all, we got the trailer for Black Mirror Series 3.
Ooh.
Which is Charlie Brooker's kind of anthology series looking at sort of sci-fi, sort of quite close to the future, looking at how technology has affected our lives and how that can maybe not be a great thing sometimes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it's moved from Channel 4 to Netflix. And you can certainly tell, because from the trailer, it looks like it has a much bigger budget.
Fantastic.
Which I think is quite exciting. And they've got some quite big names in it this time as well.
Oh?
The most prominent one on the trailer is Bryce Dallas Howard.
Really?
And she's in films and what such.
Yes, she is.
And you've also got Kelly MacDonald and Jerome Flynn, as well as like a bunch of other people.
Fantastic. Well, Black Mirror is always one that I've got a soft spot for anyway. I think Charlie Brooker is really creative.
I love the first two series.
Yeah. I think he's really creative in his approach. I think he's really imaginative in how he envisions these things. You know, he's so talented. It's actually quite intimidating.
All right.
Oh, yeah, well, I think like still one of my favorite ones is I think the second episode of the first series.
Ooh, yeah.
Where it's kind of set in that society where everyone lives in kind of just this little box. And basically people keep trying to, like, their entire lives literally revolve around reality TV.
Yes.
And you've got, like, the guy who starts off trying to sort of preach against it. And then he kind of ends up doing that, but on his own reality TV, because he's completely sold out.
Yep.
So good. Oh, yeah. And of course, the first ever episode, which turned out to be weirdly prophetic for reasons that I can't say over the air.
I'm trying to remember. Was that the one with the pig?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Ah, where right. Some bacon
gets made.
Yes. 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 Making bacon.
Well, I've never sat and watched this, but
you should.
It sounds quite disturbing from what you've seen.
You should.
What you've said.
Andy, you should. Emerson and I recommend it.
Yes, we do. Ooh, ooh. I was wondering now, if this comes out on Netflix, if they've got the rights, you think that means they're also going to put the first two series on Netflix?
Ooh, possibly.
Ooh. And Netflix never does just the one series.
That is good binge possibilities.
Yes, there are good binge possibilities there. So, shall we move on?
That's not the only thing that got a trailer. Because, stuff's still related to Channel 4. We finally got a trailer for Human Series 2.
Human Ooh. Series 2?
Yeah, Series 2 of Humans.
Do tell more.
So, Humans, I talked about a while ago. It was, without a doubt, one of my favourite series of 2015.
It was superb.
It was so good. It's about kind of robots that look like people, sort of discovering they have human emotions.
Was this the one that was more a higher budget iRobot in a series format, from what I took from it?
Not really.
I guess with less Will Smith and Audi product placement.
Yeah.
Which I didn't understand, because like a big point of the film is that Will Smith crashes his Audi.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it was iRobot. I mean, Andy's not familiar with this, but Emerson and I know this because Emerson introduced me to this. It's a graphic novel series called Alex and Ada. It's more that than iRobot.
Yeah, but I think kind of in mainstream terms, just of the idea of...
Or maybe AI? Like,
yeah, I think AI is probably a better comparison, because it's that very much a what makes a human.
Yeah.
And exploring that.
Yes. Anyway. Humans, Season 2. I am... Colour me intrigued.
Well, colour me incredibly excited.
Yeah, well, colour me that
but
as well.
Even crazier.
Yeah?
I've also found a second story that there's going to be a one-off special to tie into that, which Gemma Chan, star of Humans, kind of has an AI duplicate of herself made.
Wow.
Which, I like that Channel 4 have made this entire series of, look what happens when we try and make robots out of people. It goes a bit wrong. Now we're going to make a robot out of a person. I'm sure nothing bad will happen.
See, I like that.
It'd be quite a boring show if nothing happened.
Yeah. I mean, they had a movie out earlier this year called Ex Machina, which also was kind of exploring that whole robot-human thing.
Again, one of my favourite movies of the year.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. And who was it who played the robot? I can't remember her name.
Oh, Alicia Vikander.
She was brilliant.
She was so good. Yeah. Much like Gemma Chan.
Yes.
And, oh, God, now the Gemma Chan bots and the Alicia Vikander bots are going to team up and kill us all. That's going to be kind of awesome.
Well, you'd be happy.
I would die a happy, happy man.
You'd be going, no, please, can I be killed by the Gemma Chan bots? No, please, can I be killed by the Alicia Vikander bots? I can't decide.
Fine. It's fine. I'll survive just by selling out my fellow humans.
This is a very disturbing conversation here.
We know who the traitor is. It's Emerson Cummerbund. Now the alias is handy.
Give them Rob and Andy. Give them Rob and Andy. That will secure our safety.
No. Now
So next story, guys.
Yes. Emerson, all I was going to say was, now the alias comes in handy.
Yes.
Police are looking for a man called Emerson Cummerbund. So moving on then. There were a few things coming out from New York Comic Con. Trollhunters, which is an animated series that was created for Netflix by Guillermo del Toro, that one's quite interesting. And that one, Anton Yelchin is still listed as one of the cast members, even though he passed away. And I'm not sure if they've replaced him or written his character out of the series. Also got Kelsey Grammer and Ron Perlman voicing roles in that series.
Ooh,
and
that is a good cast.
It's a good cast, and it's nice to see that Guillermo del Toro is one of those directors, one of those creative types who's actually quite free. He's willing to try his hand to all sorts of things, including a CG animated series for a younger audience, you know? So Trollhunters is one that I'm interested in, mainly because I'm a fan of Guillermo del Toro. But the main one, I think, that everyone was interested in was the new teaser for Iron Fist.
Oh.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yes, so did I.
Yeah, I'm pretty intrigued.
Yeah. I like the fact that he does actually have a fist that goes, like, that blazes in the way that Iron Fist should.
I believe, as the kids say, he is lit up.
Yes, he is lit up. And I don't know, do you know the dragon on his chest?
Yeah, yeah, the tattoo thing.
It just looked a bit, I don't know, it didn't quite work for me. You know, it looked like...
To be fair, it appears in like half a second at the end, though, so...
Yeah, so maybe it just needs to grow a little bit on me. But in that half second, it just looked like someone had taken, like, a felt tip pen or a crayon and basically just coloured it into his chest quickly.
Although if that is actually what happens in the series, it would be amazing.
Yes. But yeah, it hinted at some pretty amazing fight scenes.
Yeah, which, that is kind of Iron Fist bread and butter though, isn't it?
Well, I think it's a Netflix thing rather than an Iron Fist thing, because Netflix seemed to like the whole idea of a corridor scene.
I think it's ever since Series 1 of Daredevil had that one big corridor fight that's kind of become quite famous.
Yeah, because...
That is kind of their big giant laser beam in the sky finale moment.
Yeah, there was that one in Daredevil, and then they kind of mirrored that in Luke Cage when he goes into Fort Knox.
Yeah, and then even Daredevil Series 2 has that one where he's kind of in the big warehouse-y
thing. Yes, it does. And from the trailer, it looked like there was a scene where he's in an office block. It was top down.
Yeah, yeah.
So, hopefully. And there's some interesting characters as well. There's two female characters who we don't know if they're going to be friends or enemies or frenemies.
Oh, NNs.
Yeah, or NNs. Or a nemenemenemenemenemenes.
Oh, God. I mean, what more can I say to that?
I don't know. So, Iron Fist, I'm looking forward to, because...
Yeah, looks cool. Should be some good kung fu action times.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to say anything else, because we've got stuff that we're going to be talking about in a moment. But shall we take a break there?
I think we should.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll be back in a minute with what we've been watching.
Do you like books but can't handle too many words? Or prefer comics? Then tune in to the Geek Show's dedicated comic book show, 4Panel.
And welcome back to On The Box. Now we're going to be talking about what we've been watching. So guys, what have you been watching?
Who's going first?
I don't mind going first. I don't actually mind going first because... I was going to go with Luke Cage, but I know that Emerson wants to talk about Luke Cage, so I'll pitch in and help out with that, because I can.
Oh, maybe you just assumed that I want to talk about Luke Cage.
Don't you want to talk about Luke Cage?
Oh, I was going to talk about Bargain Hunt.
Okay, then I can talk about Luke Cage.
No, I wasn't going to talk about Luke Cage.
I would say, doesn't Bargain Hunt fill your violence... What's the word?
Meter? Shopping trolley? Boot of the car?
Pit.
Violence fix.
Pit. Yes. Sorry, I don't know, Andy. You've never seen them go at it when there's kind of a bargain on the table.
I don't know. Now you're making now you're making the Antiques Roadshow sound like WWE. Anyway, I'll leave Luke Cage for Emerson. You remember Robot Wars?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And you remember? And I also remember what it is you're going to be talking about now.
Yes. And you remember I was talking about how it was very sanitized and very slick. It was a bit too clinical.
Yep. Those are things what you said with your mouth.
Yes. Well, there's an American series that is similar to Robot Wars called BattleBots.
Ah, I've seen this on the guide.
I was watching this on Spike, and I am surprised, right? BattleBots, it's, I think it's in its seventh season or something like that. Yeah, I think it's in season seven now. And I'm actually surprised at A, how popular it is, and B, just how much better it is than Robot Wars. And I never thought. Well, let's put it this way. BattleBots, I'm going to say it's better in a very, very loose kind of way, right? I was never happy with Dar O'Brien being the host of Robot Wars, and he works, but he also doesn't, okay? I think you need somebody who is less theoretical and more practical. I think you need somebody who also can put the competitors at ease in a way that Dara simply can't, because number one, he's very tall, and number two, he's very smart. And some of the competitors can be intimidated by that, right? Angela Scanlon is fine. Got no problem with her. But you need kind of that affable host who's a little bit, who the competitors can feel they can talk to as a person. And Dara's one of those people who you've seen all over TV. It'd be like Emerson, right? If you met, say, Richard E. Grant, right, could you have a normal conversation with him?
Oh, because I assume that in between takes, Richard E. Grant literally chews scenery.
Yeah.
Like, just picks up a table and starts taking bites out of it.
Yes. But, I mean, you understand what I mean. It's somebody who's, you know, who you really like, but you also know is really smart and you don't want to look like a fool in front of them. Do you see what I mean?
And, it's that kind of I've got to be on my best behavior mentality.
Yeah, whereas when Craig Charles was on Robot Wars, because he was Lister, you know, in Red Dwarf, you always had the feeling that you could say a few things to him and get away with it because he seemed a lot more down to earth. And that's the kind of host I think you need for something like Robot Wars.
Oh, yeah, Dan O'Brien's just that generic host now, isn't he?
No, he's not Jimmy Carr or Alan Carr, one of the Carrs. The Volkswagen.
The BBC is Jimmy Carr.
Yeah, but he is basically the go-to nerdy host.
Yeah. To be honest, do you know who would have been amazing as the host of Robot Wars? Richard Ayoade.
Yeah, he would have, actually.
He would have been brilliant at it because he's got that kooky left-field viewpoint that catches people off guard. And anyway, back to BattleBots.
He's also quite reserved, though, is the thing.
He is, but I think that would actually work because when people are reserved, other people feel the need to fill in the space with conversation.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, more outside of talking to other people, like, just actually introducing the show.
Yeah. I see what you mean, yeah. But anyway.
I think part of the problem is because, like, the correct way to introduce Robot Wars, in my mind, is just being Craig Charles.
Yes, I think that is part of the problem. Anyway, BattleBots is it's very, very weird because it's on ABC and it's effectively a robot fighting tournament, and it's, you know, it's been presented by several people over the years. I think currently you got Samantha Ponder and you had Molly McGrath being a presenter on it before, and you got a couple of guys and Samantha Ponder, who the three of them team up to basically be like the general hosts, and two of them act in the role of like host commentators, while Samantha Ponder is the one going and meeting the teams. So it's very similar to the way Robot Wars is kind of put together, is set up and put together. But one of the big differences between Robot Wars and BattleBots is that BattleBots, they have teams from universities. So you had a team of students from MIT fielding a robot in one of the episodes, you know, and they got beaten by a guy who put together the robot with a bunch of his mates from work.
That's a bit embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, but it's also kind of, you know, it was a close fight. It was a very close fight. It was a judge's decision, effectively. And the other thing as well is they actually have an external referee who actually is dressed as a referee, you know, like in Gladiators with the stripy shirt and everything like that, or like in American football. You have a referee outside of the arena and they separated the teams so the teams don't actually have any interaction during the fight. They can't see each other or what each other's doing.
Right.
And they lead the teams in, and you know how Craig Charles used to introduce the robots and the robots would drive into the arena?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that's missing from Robot Wars, is that they're automatically in the arena when the fight starts, and you don't have that intro, you don't have that, you know, walking down the ramp and going, look at me, I'm tough, kind of thing, and everyone's cheering. You don't have that, and that's one thing I miss about Robot Wars. But you have that in BattleBots, and you have the teams bringing the robot up, and everybody's cheering, and they're all, you know, bowing and waving and everything like that. And it's nice to see, because it adds to the atmosphere of it. The other thing they have as well is they have a guy, this huge African-American guy, with a really bassy voice. His voice is actually kind of awesome. And he's doing that whole, you know, the whole, let's get ready to rumble kind of thing, but in kind of a robot fighting tournament style. So it's not exactly a robotic voice, but his voice is amazing. And he's introducing the robots, and he basically does that whole get ready to fight thing. But it's the presentation is so much better than how we approached Robot Wars, the new version, you know. And it kind of shows just how lacking Robot Wars at the moment is, and how much better the original Robot Wars series was in terms of its approach, because the original Robot Wars with Craig Charles, they had all these little nods to the showmanship of it, getting the audience pumped up and making them excited, you know, having the separate booths so that the teams couldn't interact with each other during the fight. You know, they didn't know what each other was what each other was doing. That sort of thing. All these little nods were things that added to the atmosphere and made it, you know, made it more of a tournament. Whereas the Robot Wars now is not, it just doesn't feel the same. But BattleBots actually feels, weirdly enough, more like the old Robot Wars than Robot Wars.
All right.
So that's what I've been watching.
Well, I might have to give it a watch.
Yeah. It's weird how the Americans seem to have picked up Robot Wars, the old one, and gone, oh, actually, they've got some great ideas and run with it. Whereas here, the company that made Robot Wars originally seemed to have forgotten what Robot Wars was all about. The original Robot Wars had a very American style about it, and I think that's one of the reasons why BattleBots reminds me a lot more of Robot Wars than Robot Wars. It's funny because some of the correspondence they've had on BattleBots have been hilarious, by the way. Do you want to know who some of them are?
Yeah, go on, Rob.
Nah, not really.
You'll laugh, trust me. Correspondence for BattleBots included former Baywatch actresses Donna DeRico, Carmen Electra, Tracy Bingham, former Playboy playmate Heidi Mark, and identical twins Randy and Jason Sklar.
Reality stars, basically.
No.
That is a strange list.
I know. I wouldn't say reality stars. Donna DeRico, Carmen Electra, Tracy Bingham, and Playboy playmate Heidi Mark on a show that is effectively for nerds. So, you do the math there, Andy. Emerson and I understood it. Was that your attempt at...
I didn't realise until it was. It just kind of came out like that.
I like that. Okay.
I'm scared now.
Anyway, shall we move on?
Bob, There's a proud, independent black woman inside me and she wants to get out.
I'm not helping you with that. Shall we move on?
I think we should.
Okay, so, Andy.
Right. I've mentioned this one when it first came on the telly.
Okay.
But what I've been watching this this week, yeah, is Taskmaster, the new series. And this year, well, the second series for this year, which is season three, has Al Murray, Dave Gorman, Paul Chowdhury, Rob Beckett, and Sarah Pascoe.
Okay.
And it's hosted by Greg Davies and Alex Horn. And it basically, the show is tasks, ridiculous tasks, set by Greg Davies for the contestants to do. And it's, to me, it's absolutely hilarious, and it's a unique thing which I haven't seen before. And for example, the first episode that kicked off, it's a bit spoilery, this, but
yeah,
the first challenge, for example, was they had to get to a microwave before it finished cooking soup in as few steps as possible. And the path was blocked by hurdles and crash mats.
And hurdles
and...
Hurdles and crash mats?
Yeah. And Paul Chowdhury decided, same with Dave Gorman, that the best way was to take larger steps. And it was hilarious.
So, you're saying you've not seen anything like Taskmaster before?
Not as ridiculous as this. For example, the best task there was the rest to build a snowman.
Okay.
And, well, when was the last time it snowed, Rob? And you saw, for example, Dave Gorman decided he'd use it make a snowman out of powdered mashed potato.
Is he a starchitect? And... Emerson knows what that is.
I do. Literally loitering flashbacks.
So, anyway.
But, yeah. I thought it's a brilliant show, and it's always unique. They always have to bring an object in, rather than relating to a specific topic that week. And it has to be something valuable to them. And then the winner wins all five at the end of the show. But it's a hilarious show. I do fully recommend it.
Okay, cool.
But that's what I've been watching. Educational TV.
Educational TV. But I could have sworn you've seen Taskmaster before.
I've seen it when it first came on the telly, but it's evolved a lot since then. And this new series, the chemistry between five of them.
Did you say it's evolved?
Apparently.
Like some kind of Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all.
It's definitely evolved.
Okay. So, finally, it's time for Emerson.
Yes, Luke Cage. Luke Cage. Luke Cage.
Cage.
Okay, that's me done.
Yes, Luke Cage is pretty amazing.
It's so good. It's basically like Daredevil and blaxploitation cinema had a baby, and it's beautiful.
Yes, it is. It is absolutely that. And this, I don't know. I'm going to take over this if you don't start hurrying up and talking, Emerson.
Okay, then I was just letting you have a little bit. So yeah, Luke Cage, it's kind of set like after Jessica Jones, it follows the character of Luke Cage, which, you know, mind blow. And he's living in Harlem, and he's just trying to live his life, but finds himself embroiled in a conflict with gangster Cottonmouth and politician Mariah Dillard.
Yes.
And it's cool because it reminds me a lot of Jessica Jones in that it's got some solid superhero drama stuff, but it's using that to tackle some big issues as well. So this one, it looks a lot at kind of racism and sort of how Harlem is like a center for black culture.
Yeah.
But it's kind of got overtaken by a lot of crime.
Yeah. You're absolutely right on that one.
And I think it's interesting it's come out now as well.
Yes.
With racial violence being like a really hot button topic. And I think even in the show, they say, you know, he's a bulletproof black guy, you know, wearing a hoodie. How is that not political?
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that's
a very interesting show.
I think there's several things that stand out for me with Luke Cage. Number one, obviously, is the music.
Yes, my God, it has such a good soundtrack.
Yeah, they had some amazing musicians and hip-hop artists that basically got together and basically wrote totally new original tracks for this series. The entire series is basically like...
I didn't realize they were all new and original.
Some a lot of them are just totally new, totally original ones. I mean, some of them, if you hear them playing on the radio or something like that, there might be older tracks. But, you know, in the club, a lot of the ones that you hear in the club are totally new tracks.
Okay, cool, because I think we should probably explain. So I think that's one of my favourite things about it, is how, like, a lot of it revolves around a club called Harlem's Paradise.
Yeah.
And they kind of introduce scenes there, actually having, like, acts on the stage doing performances.
Yes.
It's a neat way to set a scene and has some amazing hip-hop.
It is just amazing. Seriously, it's...
Is this the one that I saw the trailer for with you, Rob?
Yes.
More of a funny side to it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it has a sense of humour as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because basically in the comics, Luke Cage used to have like this ridiculous costume of like the yellow billowy shirt and the metal tiara and bracelets. And at one point, like when he escapes from prison, he actually kind of has to improvise that outfit. And then he just like walks past a car, sees himself reflected in the window and just says, "I look like a damn fool."
It is exactly that. The thing is, there's so many other little nods as well. When he's in the Chinese restaurant, when he deals with the Cottonmouth guys in the Chinese restaurant, and the lady in the Chinese restaurant looks at him and says, "We want to hire you," because Luke Cage's job is...
Luke Cage, hero for hire.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And just little nods like that. You know, they're so subtle sometimes that you just don't see them.
Yeah, because there are a lot of things like this try and work in references to the comics, and it can be quite blatant.
Well, yeah.
There's a good job at kind of like just weaving them into the conversation.
Well, I mean, there's other characters. Black Mariah's in there, obviously. We know who she is. And also Shades is also a bad guy from the Luke Cage comics as well. But Shades, in the comics, is a bit more Cyclopsy.
Oh, yeah, because Shades has, like, eye-beam powers in that. Yeah. But in this, he's just a dude.
Yeah. And what's his name? Diamondback as well.
Yeah, which, although, as much as I say, like, it did a good job weaving in the subtle references.
Yeah.
Diamondback's power suit was kind of ridiculous.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
But also, I feel like Luke Cage can earn that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think one of the bits I loved was the whole thing about the ghetto pass.
Yes. It's just like a sign in, like, because there's a character called Pop who has a barbershop. He just has a list of people who get a ghetto pass. And it's like Muhammad Ali, Richard Roundtree, who played Shaft. And then, like, the one white guy on the list is Al Pacino.
Yes, for Scarface, Carlito's Way, was it? And I've forgotten the other one. It wasn't Serpico, it was something else. But yeah.
You know what? Literally, Rob, we had this conversation the other day, and then we said, we'll go look it up before the show. And then we didn't look it up before the show.
No, we didn't. But.
And do you know what, Rob? Do you know what?
What?
Now we look like damn fools.
Yes, we do. You look like a damn fool.
Oh, I think one of my other favourite things is just like all the fight scenes.
Oh, God.
Where you can just like walk up to a guy and just kind of tap them on the head and send them flying.
I mean, we mentioned earlier on in the show the hall scene, which was in the trailer, obviously, when he goes to take out Fort Knox. It's not actually Fort Knox. It's basically a building in Harlem, and he goes to take it down. And there's just so many good bits in that, but there's so many good bits in so many other episodes in the show. It's... I really liked the whole thing, you know, his verbal face off with Cottonmouth in the church.
Oh, yes. Where they both basically give some really impassioned speeches.
Yeah. And I liked that because that showed a different side of, you know, his character.
Yeah, because he's not just about the punching.
Exactly. And that whole bit when Cottonmouth tries to get back at him by inciting the residents, and he's just kind of getting frustrated because he just wants to be left alone, and he's going, I'm on it!
Which, I think actually that was probably like my favourite moment, just the idea of Luke Cage actually being that guy. You go up to and say, Luke, we've got this going on, go fix it.
Yeah. He's basically Harlem's handyman.
Yeah, he is.
When you get right down to it, that's what Luke Cage literally is. He's Harlem's handyman. If you have a problem...
Like, I would love it if in Series 2 there's just a little bit where he has to help someone, like, move a fridge or something.
No, I've just realised if you have a problem, no one else can help. And maybe, if you can find it, you can summon Luke Cage. Da 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 da. What? He's like a one-man 80.
Definitely sounds like one to watch. Anyway.
It is definitely one to watch. It's got brilliant music. It's got some really, really, really good characters.
Yeah. Played by some top-notch actors.
Yes. Yes. And I love the way it kind of ties in with Daredevil and with Jessica Jones and with the MCU itself. You know, because they don't call it aliens coming out of a hole in the sky in New York. They just refer to it as the incident now.
Yeah, I like that they kind of got that official name run through it.
Yeah.
And also Claire Temple shows up and she's awesome.
Yes, she is. It's strange because DC's TV shows up until the advent of Daredevil had been really kicking Marvel's backside. But then Daredevil came along. And I think someone at Disney Marvel suddenly thought, you know, we should just let Netflix deal with everything. Because then you got Jessica Jones and you got Luke Cage and you get we're getting Iron Fist, which is looking great. And I think if you got a production company that gets what your property is all about, then you can, you know, you're onto a winner. Because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm sorry, but it's kind of an embarrassment now, isn't it?
To be honest, I wouldn't even know. I stopped watching it a while ago.
That's my point.
I got 3 episodes in.
You know, that's my point. They could have done something really interesting with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
For me, the problem was it seemed to be kind of a dumping ground for stuff Marvel wanted to bring in but didn't really want to put in a film or anything.
Like the Inhumans.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, to be honest, I know that a lot of people regard the Inhumans as kind of bargain basement mutants.
And yes, they are. Okay, that's it. That's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
All I was going to say was, given that, you know, the whole existence came from a Kree experiment, right? Instead of doing the whole mutant thing, they could have done something really interesting with regards to the interstellar thing. So having the Inhumans being hunted by Kree instead. Kind of an early days of the Inhumans type thing. You see what I mean?
Inhumans.
It would have been more interesting than what they did with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, but basically, Luke Cage is awesome. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't.
Do you know Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
And that's what we're ending on, Rob.
I was just wanting to make one final point about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Is it a point you can make in under 4 minutes?
Yes. In fact, it's a point I can make in 30 seconds.
Then do it. Do it quickly.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was basically Mutant X.
I don't know what that is.
Mutant X was a TV show that was on Sky, which was trying to cash in on the popularity of mutants and failed. It was pretty bad. Look it up. And on that note...
It is the end of the show.
Yes.
Okay, we have been on The Box. If you've liked what you've heard, you can find us on the internets. We are a part of the Geek Show Podcast Network, which is geekshow.co.uk. We are also on Mixcloud, we're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes maybe.
Soon, very soon.
Soon. We're not on iTunes yet, but we will be. But you can listen to other Geek Show shows on iTunes. And if you've liked what you've heard, you can use the donate link on the right-hand side of the website to maybe throw us a little bit of the old money. Or you can go to the Geek Shop, which is also on the website, and buy some of our lovely, lovely items.
Yes. We're done for this week. Yeah. We'll be back.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll be back soon with more TV shows and more TV news. So until then, I have been Rob.
I've been Andy.
And I've been famous actor Emerson Cumberbund.
Yes. We'll see you all next
week. And also Ian McKellen, and also a sassy black woman. I'm a complex individual, goddammit.
Yes. We'll see you all later while we try and figure out what Emerson actually is.
Thanks for listening.